Welcome to the Magic and Mindfulness Podcast. You're joining me, Amy Maxwell, on my journey of understanding the world of light magic in order to cultivate mindful living. I'm so excited for you to join me on this path of discovery. Everyone, welcome back to another episode. Today, I'm speaking to Colin Bedell, also known as Queer Cosmos on social media, about astrology and how we can use astrology to cultivate personal insight and relationship health. I honestly have been waiting for the right person to come onto this show to discuss astrology, and I am a huge believer in divine timing. So when I came across Colin on social media, I just knew he was the one I had to speak to on this topic. On social media, he is just so real when it comes to talking about astrology and so relatable. And I'm pleased to say that during the podcast recording that same energy came into play as well. I had the best time chatting to Colin and I just couldn't stop smiling for days after recording this episode. So during our chat, we talk about how we can use astrology as a tool for personal insight and relational health, but we also touch on other topics, such as loneliness and ways we can feel less alone through astrology, connecting with the stars to understand what's happening out there in the universe and relaying that back to real life on Earth, and uncovering pinnacle moments in our life through astrology, and also ways it can help us with finding self-acceptance to discover who we are and why we're here. I'm so excited for you to listen to this episode. So let's do it. Let's get on with the show.
I loved it. So I'm glad when I saw that you were in the UK and Amsterdam, which I love the UK too. I have family friends in Kent and Trotterscliffe and Dymchurch, London, Pimlico, all these cute places. Like, it was just like, I think we're gonna have a great time. So anyway.
Yeah, no, thanks for connecting. And I think, of course. Yeah, super nice, like, to have you. And yeah, really, thank you. Nice. I've been following your Instagram and I'm a big fan of just like what we're talking about a little bit of like just making things accessible in astrology. And actually I've recorded season one and this is for season two that you're right. Coming on the podcast. And I've sort of, again, sounds cheesy, but I know I'm speaking to someone who understands and connects them with, you know, the universe very, very well, astrology, particularly. But I have not found the right person for astrology. And then I sort of came across your profile and I was like, oh yeah, you're the one. You're the one I have to speak to. So I'm so happy. I'm so happy you're here.
I'm so honored by that, Amy. Thank you. It's a pleasure. And also, I love very British things like we were discussing earlier. I don't know if you're going to know who, because he's very British. So like, I'm just honored to be interviewed by a very British, but Dutch in soul interviewer. I'm so excited.
Yeah, thank you. Well, thanks for coming on today. And we're going to talk about astrology and how it cultivates personal insight and relational health.
Yes, we are. Way to go on the interview, the research. I was impressed.
Yeah. I think it's quite a big topic. So
yeah,
we'll break it down obviously as we chat, but I thought as we sort of start, yeah, maybe nice for you to introduce yourself, what it is you do, and yeah, Tell me and the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So my name is Colin Bedell and I am from Long Island, New York. I'm coming at you from Brooklyn, New York, baby. And so basically the handwriting of being a native New Yorker is in everything that I am, think, feel, and do, especially astrologically speaking, right? Because, you know, I think New Yorkers are interested in utility and honesty, and also just a certain level of responsibility. You know, I think that is a part of our culture in a lot of ways. And so, yeah, speaking of New York, my mother, my New York mom, started talking about astrology when I was really little. I think it was like 10, 11. And I was just so impressed by her ability to find patterns with other people through the system. And she would just talk about it in the house, like, oh God, your Leo father, he drives me nuts, you know? And she'll, I'm a Gemini and a twin. So she would say things like, oh, my Gemini twins. And I was like, what? And then I remember even Googling it for the first time in 2002. And this rush of information found me. And I have been studying and researching and understanding it really ever since. And I was so impressed in my early 20s with its ability to accelerate conversations. You know, we go right into the meaningful topics, right? I'm not anti-small talk, but there's really nothing small talk about astrology, you know? Sure. And so it just impressed me, because then back to, you know, being a New Yorker, I was very present to how quickly I saw its efficacy, how efficiently it worked as a model in conversation and relationships. And I couldn't deny the validity of the lived experience that I had. But at the time, this was like early 20s, so like 2013, I didn't have any intention of ever becoming a professional astrologer. Yeah. Only a few years later did I start surrounding myself with them. Again, totally oblivious, not even thinking that this would be a professional calling whatsoever. In fact, I actively refused it when people would say, oh, you should try this. I'm like, no, it's just a hobby and I don't want to compromise it by getting paid. I don't know what the fuck I was talking about, right? Right? And then I was fired from the job that I was working at in 2017. So I was 28 years old and I was released from this company. And it was 2 weeks after I just started an astrology website. And I just had the intention of just writing about it and sharing it with others. I didn't, again, think it would have to become my career. But as soon as I had published 2 weeks later, I was fired from my day job. And then all these little things just started happening to confirm my belonging as an astrologer. And miraculously, on the last week of unemployment, which is what Americans receive if they, you know, say, I'm no longer out of work. I forget what it's called in the UK, but it's something similar. And on the last week that I received that financial payment was when I received my first literary contract. So I was just like, wow. This is miraculous, you know? And so I've just been sort of operating my career from that quality of, I don't necessarily have intention or goals. I just want the universe to dream through me, because it's been doing it since it feels like from the very beginning. So why would I abandon the method of the process that seems to be providing me with personal, professional, and relational peace?
That's amazing.
Yeah. That's my long story. Yeah.
Wow. No, I didn't actually know the background. I just obviously, probably like most people do, actually just came across your social media. But I've looked at your website, but I didn't know that was kind of the story. So yeah, that must have been so liberating, but also so scary at the same time.
Without a doubt. And it was absolutely, I think, a baptism by fire that most people who I admire in the spiritual and metaphysical community have to go through. They sort of experience a full tilt catastrophe that burns. Okay, so I kind of feel like based on your laugh, you went through it too. Am I wrong?
Well, I'm going for it now, Colin.
Okay. You're like, well, I'm glad I'm talking to you now. Okay. Do you want to say anything about that? Or
yeah, I mean, I'm so open on this podcast, probably too open, but I mean, yeah. So, okay. No, well, let's dive into it.
No, please.
Yeah. Okay. So no, I mean, it's amazing to hear, because I think it's also kind of what I'm hoping for myself in terms of, like, it sounds like that's your natural dharma, you know, like you've found that and it's just all happening. I've kind of gone through a similar process recently. I haven't got my book deal yet.
Okay. But, matter of time.
Yeah. But I've basically just left my corporate job. So I didn't get fired, but I decided to leave because.
Good for you.
Thank you. It's been really scary and sort of, yeah, I started it 6 months ago and it's just not felt in alignment with me anymore. So I've decided to kind of take more time off to still pay the bills, but hopefully, accelerate my spiritual business. So it's nice to hear that it does work out for people. I do feel that it does work out.
It absolutely does. And I would even argue more often than not, it does. And I think if we're just looking at it very logically, Amy, right? So you and I both work in the metaphysical community. Great. So therefore, things that are not of this world that would help us professionally are going to be the approaches that we're going to want to apply in moments of prolonged uncertainty in our career. Mm-hmm. So thereby, anything of this world, like you need to have a plan and 6 month savings, would not work because we're not in a career that's of this world. So why would I take methodologies that don't apply to the world I'm living in and put them there? No way. And who are we to help others hold faith and hope in these things unless we know in our bones viscerally from lived experience that it works? So yes. I think this is the cost of admission. And you will get so much reward. I absolutely promise you on that. I'm convinced. Yeah.
Thanks. I think that's really beautiful, actually. It does feel a little bit like that when you actually try and explain things logically. And I'm also going through my Saturn returns as well. And that sounds about the same time as when it happened to you. It does feel just like this is all chaotic and hellish, but at the same time, it's supposed to happen. And that's the only way I can describe it.
And you just described my late 20s. So you're exactly. Damn right. Right. I'm only a little bit older than you, 32. But no, you couldn't have described it any better. And also what I've noticed, because now Saturn's in Aquarius, right? It's left Capricorn for the next 28 years, is that the people who took the tried and true risk-averse route sorely regretted it because COVID came and disrupted everything, right? Yeah. So the people who are willing to experiment and have the courage to rethink and leave in a moment, or complete, I should say, to really configure, is this in alignment with my Amy's values? Is this in alignment with my convictions? They're the ones who Saturn legitimizes, validates, confirms, and rewards. 100%. I have seen that throughout the Saturn return. I know people like to forecast it as this terribly depressing, fearful time. And I'm always asking astrologers, where is the moment in our life that is not terribly fearful and depressing? Because it always, you know, but Saturn just wants us to, when we're going through a Saturn return, really have faith and show our resilience and build the personal and professional infrastructure to hold the gravitas of all that we're looking to build. So that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
Thanks, Colin. I feel like congratulating both of us. And thanks for sharing your story. Yeah. It's really beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you for listening. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. And I think also I wanted to ask you, I feel like we just dive straight into it, which is awesome.
Of course. I know.
Of course. And you've just mentioned you're a Gemini, but could you tell me what your sun, moon, and rising is? And maybe for listeners who are new to astrology, if you wouldn't mind just giving a little bit of a breakdown of what they are.
Sure. Well, I'm going to be totally a Gemini and say, après vous, you go first.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to know. Yeah, because I haven't asked yet and it has killed me. So go ahead.
Okay. All right. So I'm a Sun Scorpio.
Nice.
Aries moon and a Libra rising.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. Okay. So I was just hanging out with my Aries moon best friend. I absolutely love my Aries moon people.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. And so you have a lot of opportunities also coming up for you during the eclipses that will be on the Taurus Scorpio axis 100%. And my God, if the whole world doesn't get along beautifully with Libra risings, I don't know what other rising sign is more socially gracious. Okay. So to use your chart as an example really quickly, the rising sign is the front door to your astrological home. They say that it's the energy you walk into parties with. My astrological mentor, Maria De Simone, calls it your astrological handshake. Like, hi, how you doing? I'm a Libra rising, right?
Ah, okay.
I also take the belief that the rising sign is our gift that we give to other people, because it's how other people perceive you, right? So it's not always in our regulation or in our control. I mean, absolutely it can be on the level of impact, but I really believe that the rising sign is how we rise and shine in other people's lives. So I really do believe that it is a gift we give to other people. You give the gift of your Libra rising to me and to all people who are listening to you.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Kind of a provocative opinion, but this is what I'm seeing so far. I can change my mind because I'm allowed, but that's what I see. And so the moon sign governs the factory settings of your astrology. You could almost liken it to, you know, the software of your chart. You just restore you to factory settings. You would just be the moon sign. It is the location of your emotional nature. So it's where you go when you're in fight, and parasympathetically freeze. It's how you react to emotional activation. But it's also how you react to vulnerability and intimacy and deep connection with other people. You are often responding from your moon sign. It's the heart of the chart, right? And then the sun sign governs the energy that we are meant to become in this lifetime. So if any of the listeners are here who have realized across their lives that they're skeptical of astrology because the context that has been given around their sun sign didn't relate to them, that doesn't surprise me, because the sun sign isn't that which comes naturally to us.
Okay.
The moon sign is. That's your factory settings, right?
Interesting.
That's always where you respond to. You are meant to become the sun in this lifetime. And again, not through a process of alternation, like, am I my moon or am I my sun? It's integration.
Right.
All of it, right? Just because we're all multidimensional and the chart gives the symbol and the context for that multidimensionality. But when you know those three, you have a real clear understanding of how you see you and the gift you give to yourself, the moon sign, how the universe sees you. I think that's your sun sign. It's like, the sun is the star of the chart, right? So the universe says, Amy, please, in order for you to shine and radiate with your worthiness and your grounds of confidence, please express the story of Scorpio on Earth as it was written in the heavens. And that process of becoming Scorpio through Aries, through the moon in Aries, will always be filtered through the rising sign in Libra for the world to see.
Okay. That's awesome. Thanks for explaining.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. Lots of questions off the bat, but I do want to know your sun.
Yeah, right. I was going to go into it. I swear I wasn't going to be a Gemini deflector.
Yeah, exactly. Deflector,
right? They're like high smoke and mirrors. No. So I'm a Capricorn moon, which gets me into so much trouble, but I love my moon so much. And I am a Leo rising.
A Leo rising.
So Leo rising, Gemini sun, Capricorn moon.
Okay. That's also quite interesting, I think. Yeah.
I like it only because, you know, not all the time, because I'm totally imperfect and I make mistakes on the regular, but I do believe it gives me a chart that can walk a talk.
Mm.
100%. You know, the walking being very much Capricorn inspired and the talking very Gemini, you know, I believe that once I'm totally cognitively and intellectually clear on my values, my convictions and my faith in certain things, then the Capricorn moon demands integrity in the practicing of those ideas, not just the professing of them.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that it gives me a bit of groundedness and levity. I love making sure that what I'm encouraging in my work is almost peer reviewed by academic psychologists and relational experts, because I don't want to be recommending anything that hasn't been almost fact-checked by the leading literature of the experts in the field. Right? Capricorn moon.
Okay.
But I also love levity and experimentation and like provocative questions, Gemini, you know, and I certainly have recently, and it's still a struggle, but I like to incorporate just Leo entertainment. Like, can we just dance and sing and relax? Like, it's really not that serious, you know, like, can we just not take ourselves so seriously, please? So I love my chart. I do. I love it.
It's really interesting, actually, because I think I've only really dived into the chart probably in the last year, I think, since astrology has kind of become, well, I think with social media blowing up, I mean,
I know, I love it.
It's so interesting, like with the signs and what they tell. And to your point at the beginning, like it can really give like personal insights to people that you know. And like when you're just saying, like, for example, you've got your Leo as your rising, right? Your Leo
good memory.
So I automatically, whenever you pinpoint the different star signs, I'm immediately thinking of friends who I can relate you to, because I'm like, oh, one of my best friends is a Capricorn, one of my best friends is a Leo, like, you know, it's just so so nice. Like, do you find that everyone, or generally speaking, astrology can relate to people as a whole because we can identify with, you know, the certain signs. But if we want to get a little bit more detailed into our specific personal insights, what's the best way to go there, basically?
To go there. Yeah. Well, I'll start with that part of the question. It would probably be to have a consultation or a reading with a professional astrologer whose approaches you admire. Yeah. So you'd have to kind of vet and see what school of astrological thought they lean on when they're providing a consultation or reading, and see if it is an approach and a method that you connect to. And then they'll be able to tell the story of your chart back to you. And that's just one of the most wild and beautiful. And it just feels like a transcendent experience. It really does. So the readings I've had have been amazing. So that's where I would tell them to start, you know, and again, please look at the astrologer and get a sense of, do their recommendations and methods and approaches match my values? Because every astrologer is different.
Yeah.
Right. 100%. And God bless. And then in terms of can you be expressed in people, Amy, I would in hope, right? Only because, you know, yeah, I love talking about the astrology of countries and talking about the astrology of the moment and horoscopes. But I'm like, if it's not expressed through other people and helping us understand other people, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what A Course in Miracles, which is my other favorite metaphysical system, has like totally made clear to me. And that's when I knew it was for me, is that, yes, it uses traditional Christian language, but in decidedly non-Christian, you know, traditional ways, I should say. And it made it very clear that like your experience, it's a coming into conscious contact with divinity, as you understand it, is not through outside other sources. It's through the other person in front of you. You can't come to God, but through love in other people. And that's why, like, I try to make astrology about other people so that we know, theoretically, we have a tool for massive personal insight and relational health. Can we talk and be real about how to apply that, please? When loneliness is also considered a global pandemic, we're socially hardwired for connection. When, you know, deep cardiovascular and cognitive decline emerges in the presence of loneliness. So what are we doing as astrologers in this phenomenal listening that we have? Speaking into that listening with the quality of our life is determined by the quality of our relationships. Hello.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, I do feel a certain level of responsibility to express like, yeah, we could talk about the astrology of the stock market and what's happening here and horoscopes all day long. But if we're not talking about how to be real about, you know, your mother, your lover, your child, like, then what are we doing?
Yeah. And I think that's really nice. And I think that's definitely how I felt as well through the pandemic, is actually there's been it's been so difficult to watch everything externally going on, but actually like with astrology and some of these other spiritual topics, it has just made you feel less alone. And then if you do come across an account like yourselves, or, you know, there's other people obviously in the industry doing similar things, but I think who you can relate to can really help you feel less alone. So yeah. And you know, when you look at those, some of these pages like yourselves, and you're just like, when you post something on a certain day, and yeah, as a follower, you're like, oh shit, I'm not the only one feeling like this. It's kind of like, how did you know that?
And you know what I love? Okay, so let me ask you this. When you realize, oh my God, I'm not the only one, mm-hmm. what's the next emotion you feel?
Relief. And I tag my friends.
Oh good, it's not just us. No, that makes me really happy, because I know I sort of love that I'm actually using, or I want to use the system theoretically, like astrology, to cure people of what is called terminal uniqueness. Mm-hmm. It's like, girls, you are not the only one. Let me tell you something, you are not the only one, you know. And I made a video about it during the second full moon in Aquarius, because my friend Chartreuse and I have this joke of, oh, here we go with the preciousness, the precious problems, like you're the only one, right? And I love to use astrology as a space to kind of let other people understand we are absolutely going through this together in different ways, don't get me wrong, right? But we are all in the same suit. And when we recognize that there are part of the conversations and experiences of the world that are related to our common humanity, I think that gives then the conversation of, and here's where we're different, more groundedness.
Yeah, I think that's super nice. I totally agree. And it for the personal insight specific piece, have you got any sort of defining moments where, I'm sure you've got many actually, where you've kind of uncovered a big moment in your own life through astrology?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, I'm just thinking of like more of an underlying content that, so my moon is in Capricorn, right? And what that essentially means emotionally is that I do have, both personally and relationally, a sort of radical responsibility approach, right? Where again, it's like, you think you're the only one, you're not, you know? And also like just more of an approach of, all right, everybody, let's all take responsibility for who we are in the space of what's happening. You know, I understand it happened at other people's responsibilities or actions. I understand the past and this and that. All of that being said, your issues are in your hands now. So I need to know, what are you doing about it in the present moment to regulate and transcend it, right? So that approach could get me into hot water. In fact, it has, and it probably always will, right? But in a level of personal insight and the experience of that, when I tell you, Amy, my life unfolds beautifully when I apply what the moon in Capricorn is helping me understand. Yeah. That's the God's honest truth. My relationships reflect that. I don't walk on eggshells with other people because I don't feel nervous to express who the fuck I am and what my values are about. And yeah, that has just completely really leading from that place, because I think we are in a culture of like this parallel phenomena where, like, on the one hand, so many people disconnect, deny, run from, and avoid the real human experience. So that's one conversation. And then on the other, I see this rampant emotional self-indulgence going on where they want to put mustard and sprinkles on top of their pain. And I'm just like, I'm sick and tired of fucking hearing it. Get a grip, you know? So applying that emotionally regulated Capricorn moon approach of like, let's talk about pain, but not dwell on it personally and relationally.
Yeah.
Wow. My life has unfolded gorgeously. And I was met with a lot of resistance. Oh, you're so harsh. Who do you think you are? Da, 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 da. And I'm like, I'm a moon in Capricorn. If the universe wanted me to be different, I would be a moon in Taurus, but I'm not.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know if that answers your question, but.
No, it does. And I think that's really nice. And it's actually just reminded me of a conversation I was having with a friend recently. And so Scorpio, I'm also friends with another Scorpio and another Capricorn. And
my God, if I could sit in this dinner table, forget it. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're all close friends. And I think, I don't know how it came up in conversation that we were talking about astrology, but as it does. And I think it was my friend who's a Capricorn. And she was saying, I don't identify with myself as a Capricorn. And I was like, what? Are you kidding? I was like, you're definitely a Capricorn. Like, you have so many good traits. And I started listing off the good traits first and said, you know, you're very... Like, and correct me, but this is what I perceive as the basic traits as a Capricorn. Yeah. Is like, she's very like punctual. She'll always get to work on time. She's very like getting shit done.
Yes.
You know, like really process driven. And I think those are brilliant qualities to have. She's so reliable.
1000%.
But she was like listing off the shadow side of the Capricorn. And then I said, actually, I've started to lean into my shadow side of Scorpio because...
100%.
I used to sort of feel ashamed maybe of being sort of perceived as like too passionate and sort of driven, that I would like scare everyone off because I just like have this intensity to me. And I think just listening to you is nice. And I think I've also done that subconsciously also in the last few years, going through my Saturn returns of like, no, I'm not going to apologize anymore. Like, this is who I am. And then, yeah, if you don't like that, then... Totally. This is who I am.
Right. Go with God, because I don't really care.
Yeah.
Right. No. And that's beautiful, because what you're looking at astrology with the same lens as me is like, well, okay, is it reasonable to assume that maybe a cosmic intelligence, infinite source, divinity, God, whatever language you use to understand these things, gave us these astrologies because we have a mission to fulfill, an assignment, an expression, a fate, a destiny, whatever. And so why would I, knowing full well I'm a bird, think I need to swim? And flying is not any less or more important than swimming, but I have a specific function I need to fulfill. So let me do that to the best of my integrity and impeccability and values, 100%. And when we look at astrology as sort of like that, which, by the way, does exist in nature. I mean, scientists still don't understand how when the cell actualizes in the body, when humans are being formed, that cells naturally know where to go and what their assignment is. They still don't even know how that happens. So we're not disconnected from that intelligence system. So if the universe is saying, Amy, Scorpio, Moon in Aries, Libra rising, go. Then great, like express it, right? Yeah. Of course, we'll have our moments, and we'll work on that and we'll keep it real with each other. But yeah, we can use astrology to give us a place of continuity and structure continuity and structure. It could really open us up to the skies and open us up to possibility because we feel more supported, I think. Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
I love that. Thank you. And yeah, totally agree. And I think it is like, so liberating to lean into that. And I hope also people listening will, you know, hopefully listen to this and think, yeah, no, unapologetically be yourself. And
yeah. And experiment with it through times, you know, and figure it out, because I'm happy to talk to skeptics. I talk to them all the time and I'll say to them repeatedly, no, I don't believe in astrology. I experience astrology. And so I can't give you, skeptic, my experience. I can just tell you that when I apply the best of my natal chart and other universal spiritual themes, my life works, so I'm pretty convinced, and you might want to try it sometime. If it doesn't work for you, that's fine, but I hope you do find whatever works for you to find, again, personal, relational, and professional peace.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Your experience.
I think it's wicked. And actually, Colin, just wondering, curious, do you also like dive into other sort of spiritual modalities like human design and things like this? Have you?
So I haven't gotten into human design yet. I haven't even, like, I've learned from tarot readers and I've had tarot readings, which are amazing. Haven't learned how to do that yet. My sort of favorite fields of interest, right? Like my work is really kind of at the four-way intersection of, I would say, astrology, A Course in Miracles, personal development, and relational health.
Mm-hmm.
That's my intersection. Yeah. Nice. So two metaphysical systems, right? Astrology and A Course in Miracles. And then two, you know, evidence-based research-backed secular systems like, you know, personal development and what does it mean to have personal health and relational success as well.
I love that. Thank you. And, yeah. And I think maybe nice then if we're touching on that side of things when we've talked about kind of, yeah, well, a lot already.
Yeah, I love it. I wish I was in the Netherlands and we could do this in person.
We'll get together at some point.
That's it. Yeah, me too.
I think it will happen. But like in terms of like our love life, I think maybe it's a huge topic. And I think we probably need a whole other podcast in itself to talk just about the love life.
Yeah.
But what can we do to support? And I think actually this can cover also friendships as well, not just like a lover. But what can we do in terms of practicalities to support our loved ones through astrology? Do you have any tips?
That is a great question. Yeah. I was going to answer something until you said through astrology. So I want to answer the precision and the distinction of your very scorpionic focused question, right? Well, I actually think it harkens back to what seems to be the through line of this conversation, which is, I think one of the best gifts that we can give to anyone, regardless of the form that the relationship is taking, is in the relationship, we are a space for their self-acceptance. You know, I mean, we know those friends and those family members and those lovers who, in their energy, in their space, they make us feel so self-accepted in who we are, where we get it right, where we have imperfections, but their self-acceptance is so loving and generous that it sustains a healthy, grounded confidence and also the power to transform and change personally what needs to for us to continue in integrity and alignment. And so I think that can be done beautifully through astrology. You know, that's typically been my approach in my family and my friends and, in, you know, the people who I'm dating is I'm like, you have this astrology, you have this Taurus sun, you have this because you are meant to, and you ought to feel self-accepted in that because the universe doesn't want you to be any other way. And I bring this up relationally because the work of Dr. Brené Brown, who is an American social worker, has really made it clear that our most accurate level of self-acceptance is a pretty primary determiner for our most meaningful relationships. So our relationships can never outweigh our most accurate level of self-acceptance. Mm. If I'm pretending, performing, people-pleasing, avoiding, denying, you know, then there is no way my relationships reflect anything of meaning. Or if I'm real clear on who I am, why I'm here, and what I'm meant to do with other people, my relationships will reflect that level of self-acceptance and personal insight. So if you know astrology, then yeah, be the mirror, which you as a Libra rising, nobody does it better than you. Nobody does it better than a Libra rising, truly, truly, to reflect accurately who other people are in strengths and where they could, you know, where they have a challenge. And when you approach that from a place of both compassion and healthy challenging, they'll just go, oh, so I can be this way? Yeah. Yeah. And then they will relate to other people from that place of worthiness, from that place of I am who the fuck I say I am and my life results prove it. Thank you very fucking much. Okay. And there will be no pretending, performing, or people pleasing in my house. Then wow, will their relationships reflect that?
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And it's like so true. I think if we can come from a place of self-acceptance, then it is just also natural who we're kind of bonded with from a friendship perspective, a love interest perspective.
Yes.
Yeah. And okay, so this actually maybe leads on to a question. You probably
and I got a question for you too, actually, okay. Now because okay. I'm thinking about Scorpio and self-acceptance. I'm gonna put it on ice, but go ahead.
No, that's fine. I think it's yeah. Nice. Oh, so just quick, I'm sure you get asked it all the time. I was just thinking, when it comes to relationships and sort of, you know, coming from that place of self-acceptance, we do naturally just like merge with certain people in our lives and it just happens and it's just natural. But I always wonder if there is a point with who we should and shouldn't match with from an astrological. So for example, I'm married. My husband is an Aries.
Love it.
But I don't know. I looked into our chart. It's not like very in sync. I think I'm an Aries moon. So that's where we have a kind of, but I don't know. Do you find that in general, we should really stick to that?
I just laugh because it's like, imagine Amy brings this American astrologer who's like, oh God, honey, run for the hills, get a divorce.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm going to start with the question about astrology compatibility. Then we're going to go right into your natal chart because there's something interesting about it. So I, again, because I was advancing my study of astrology right as I was beginning my study of A Course in Miracles, right? Which is just a self-study program of universal spiritual themes. There's the first volume is the text. The second volume is a workbook. So we do the workbook assignments with them. And then the third volume is just a manual for teachers. So it's pretty big. It's pretty dense, but it's a lifelong curriculum. I love it. It teaches very clearly in the text that relationships are assignments made by central casting, God, whoever, right? And the goal, the learning outcome of the assignment is maximum learning opportunity for the soul growth. Mm. And it also says really beautifully that relationships are laboratories of the Holy Spirit and they're hospitals for the soul. So divinity, infinite intelligence, whoever, assigns us to people by whom we can learn, theoretically, love given and received. Because we have free will, we could say, no thanks. I'd rather express my skepticism, hypervigilance, defensiveness, anger, and contempt. Thank you very much, which we all know people do. Okay. Or we could think of relationships with an orientation of something much bigger is going on here. And if I lead with that orientation of I'm assigned to people by whom I'm meant to learn love given and received, I'm not worried about whether or not the universe is assigning me to somebody at the right or the wrong place or with the right or the wrong zodiac sign. I'm not even going there.
Right.
You know,
that's a really nice way to think about it.
Because that's the vision that I had. Claims no monopoly on truth. I could be out to fucking lunch. Who knows? This is the vision that the course teaches, right? And so when it comes to relationships and compatibility, and this, you can fact check this in all of my books, I say very clearly, there's no such thing as bad compatibility. Absolutely not, right? Now, in relationship to what the natal chart teaches individually about the kind of curriculum that we have on relationships, so houses, this might get a little advanced, but houses 4 through 8 in the natal chart speak to your relational cumulative curriculum. Okay. So what's interesting though, Amy, is because you are Libra rising, mm-hmm. that means typically that Aries is the ruler of your marriage sector.
Oh, no way. I didn't.
Swear to God.
Are you serious?
Swear to God. We could look at your chart to confirm, but yeah, so.
I had no idea.
100%. So because you're Libra rising, right? Mm. The zodiac sign, 6 signs opposite from your ascendant, is the first ruler of your romantic relationship commitment zone.
Oh my God. Okay. I really need to get my chart read properly.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe I could do it for you. Yeah. And so maybe we'll be in the Netherlands. That next would year. Be Who good, knows? Yeah. Cause that's when I'm trying to get there in the winter. I don't know why I want to go in the winter, but I got to go in the winter. But no. So what's beautiful about that too, Amy, is that astrologically speaking, the theory around opposites attracting and where, you know, your legitimacies as a Libra rising will clash against your Aries liabilities and their legitimacies will clash against your Libra rising legitimacies. That's been baked into the cake of the natal chart since the dawn of time since astrology was emerged, right? Whereas a lot of us believe into sameness and commonality-based attraction, which, yeah, there's moments for agreement and are we even together or not, rest assured. But relationships are a constant dance of dialectic, paradox, polarity, opposition. And because you're Libra rising, the polar opposite sign is Aries. And in the universe's infinite wisdom, it said that the zodiac sign that is polar opposite from our ascendant is the one that will rule our relationships. Have fun.
That's awesome. I'm going to go downstairs after recording this and be like, yay.
I know, right? I know. So we don't have to get a divorce.
Yeah,
I know.
Colin told us we're okay.
I don't know. That is nuts. But no, that's exactly what it means. And yeah. And yeah, you as an Aries moon, of course, you will connect to his sun. And I've seen that a lot in relationships. My parents have that match. My twin sister and her husband have that match. So it's beautiful, right? Because his sun is your moon. So who you are is who he's becoming. And that's a beautiful kind of quality and an influence. But no,
yeah.
I don't believe in bad compatibility whatsoever. I don't necessarily believe that relationship success is measured by longevity or physical proximity or anything like that.
Yeah.
Spiritually speaking, the only arbiter of relational success is the quality of lessons learned, given, and received in all parties.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, 100%. Yes, definitely.
So long answer. I'm sorry. Oh, God. Yeah. Long-winded Gemini over here.
No, that was a great answer. And I think what that really told me, and I'm sure lots of listeners as well, and I think this is where astrology, you know, maybe growing up also, like in the UK, it was very traditional. When I was growing up, before social media, there was a lady on TV called Mystic Meg. Like, that was the first astrologer that I ever followed. And I loved it. It was so much fun. But I think it can feel quite complex and overwhelming.
Yes, 100%.
Which is why I love your account, because it also on Instagram is just really accessible and gives you really good tips. And like I said before, it makes you feel less alone in the sense of the bigger things happening. But I think just listening to this small snippet is like, okay, I definitely am going to get a full astrological reading from you when you're in Amsterdam, because I think it's really so insightful. And that's something that I guess you cannot just kind of look up online, really, right? Or can you?
You can, and then you just got to watch the generated reviews on that. And
right,
you know it's
right.
Wild, Amy? So it's really interesting. So much of the popularity, this is a whole other conversation that we can have, but so much of the popularity in astrology within the United States is because of the United Kingdom. So yeah, astrology, literally, according to the work of Christopher Renstrom, you should definitely have him on your podcast. Christopher Renstrom, oh my God, he's amazing, okay? He has situated the fact that astrology literally came over with the pilgrims from the UK to the American colonies. And it wasn't until an astrologer forecasted the horoscope of Princess Margaret in the 40s and anticipated that something wild would happen to Queen Elizabeth, who was at the time not a queen. She was the princess of her father, who then became the king because of the abdication of Edward. Right? This astrologer predicted all of it.
Wow.
And then England had this renaissance of astrology, and which of course trickled to America, who was like, wow, we should do horoscopes. Look how interesting this is. So what's really interesting is that there's been a feedback loop between the US and the UK having to do with the circulation of astrology. I just wanted to say that.
That's so interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
That's super interesting.
Yeah. Christopher Renstrom will go over it. Rulingplanets.com. He just wrote a book called The Cosmic Calendar. I love him. I love him.
Amazing. Well, thank you, Colin. I think
you've
been so insightful, and you've been plugging lots of other astrologers, but I think let's give you the space. How can
we
connect with you? Do your plug, because I think I mean, it's been the best chat. So I'm sure others will want to connect with you as well.
Oh, well, it's been so much fun having you here. And of course, in true Libra rising fashion, it was thoughtful and careful and beautiful and reflective, but honest, Scorpio sun and life-giving Aries moon. So where they can find me is just at my Instagram at queercosmos and or queercosmos.com. And I will also be, by the time this comes out, I should, having them in reading blocks. You could sign up for a reading with me through my Book Now button on Instagram, which I just added 4 years late. Okay. Capricorn moon's very slow against technology. We're like, I don't know if I trust this just yet. And they can book readings with me on my link tree and my Instagram as well. And my horoscopes are at Cosmo, cosmoinamerica.com. And I have 3 books out if you want to help me pay my student loans, because you know how in America you graduate by going into debt. It's great. Highly recommend.
I thought the UK debts were bad, but the American ones are even worse, right? It's crazy.
Horrendous. Yeah. About, you know, per year in some private schools, Amy, we're talking $46,000.
That's insane.
So you're walking out with over 200,000.
And how do people, buy Colin's books.
Because he's got to come to Amsterdam, hang out with me. If he's a broke bitch, he can't do that. So yeah, that'd be fun.
Thank you so much, Colin, for coming on today.
Thank you for listening to the Magic and Mindfulness podcast. the podcast designed for the modern mystic and spiritually curious. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to follow us on Instagram to stay connected. And before we close, I'd just like to end with a very special thank you to my co-producer, George Lasbury. Stay well and see you soon.